Good morning, church. How you guys doing? Good. All right, you guys excited for the new series? I'm actually very, very excited about this series. So today we're starting our new sermon series on the Lord's Prayer. It's going to take us through 6 weeks. And one of the things for us is that prayer, like any language, is something that we need to learn. Right? Prayer doesn't come naturally for us. It isn't something that we just know how to do. Prayer also varies from person to person, just like how language varies from person to person. Some people, they like to use a lot of words to say something, and others choose their words very precisely and communicate the same thing in just a few words. That's my wife and I. My wife uses very concise words, very few words, and I like to try to explain more. It's probably why I'm standing where I am today. But this is the same thing with prayer. How we speak to God, some of us may have more eloquent prayers that have biblical language woven through it. Others may have some very brief and simple prayer. But prayer is a language, like any language, it needs to be learned. Nobody is born with a language. You learn your language from your parents. And you start by mimicking your parents. And as you get older, you decide to learn a new language, just begin to take classes to learn that language. It's the same with prayer. And there's no better school to teach us prayer than Scripture. God speaks to us in His Word, and we echo back to God what He has first said to us. So similarly, with how we learn a new language, we are simply mimicking or saying the words that God has said to us. That's why some of the best prayers that we can find is often found in the Bible itself. Read some of the Psalms. Read some of the desperate cries of the patriarchs of the Bible. But one of the most important prayers that we could learn from is found in the Lord's Prayer, in which we find in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 13. I'm going to put it up here. It says this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So today we start this 6-week sermon in the series of the prayer. This morning specifically, we'll be looking at the first 2 lines of that prayer. But this is more than just how do we pray. Because this prayer in every single petition sets the stage for the way that we live as disciples and as followers of God. So let's pray. Father, we come before you in your majesty. We worship you. Lord, teach us by your Spirit and who you are so that we can live out your will here on earth as it is in heaven. We come before you today humbly seeking for more of you, more of your Spirit, and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the version I read up here is probably the most well-known version of the Lord's Prayer. It's from the New King James Version of the Bible. I normally don't read the New King James, but you know when you memorize something and you don't even know what version it comes from, and I was looking through the Bible and I was like, what version is this version that I know? Right? I memorized it as a kid, but I have no idea what version is from the New King James Version. Some of you guys might be holding your Bibles and you might be looking at your Bibles and you're holding either NIV or ESV, and you're looking at me like, that last line, for thine is the kingdom, isn't in my version of the Bible. Where does this come from? Well, that last line actually comes from the New King James Version. And if you have a NASB, New American Standard Bible, actually has it in parentheses. I'll explain why this is it. But there's also, some of you might be asking, isn't there another version of the Lord's Prayer in the Bible that's similar but different? Yes. We actually find that in Luke chapter 11, verses 2 to 4. And it says this, "Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Now, if you notice, but deliver us from the evil one is also in parentheses, because we only find it in certain versions of the English Bible. If you look at the two prayers, there are very distinct differences. Why do we have these words that are in parentheses and words that are taken out? And that really comes down to translation. It comes down to the fact that our English Bible is translated from the Greek manuscript that we find, right? The earliest Greek manuscripts that we could find is usually 3rd or 4th century, okay? And when we look at those manuscripts, there are actually different versions of it. And so when the New King James Version was translated in the Greek manuscript that they're translating from, it had this last line, "For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever, amen." But what they have realized is that earlier manuscripts didn't have it. And so it's just like, well, which one is true, which one is not? I mean, we're talking about the early days of church, right? We're talking about how the Bible, it was before the printing press. It wasn't something that was on a shelf for you to buy. The Bible was often copied and recited, and it was written by hand. And so oftentimes we find these different manuscripts, and there are little differences in it, but the heart behind these manuscripts are the same. It's very easy for us to go into that place where we're just like, well, the earlier version didn't have it, so I'm not going to say that part of it, or the later versions that do have it, well, this is what I'm just used to. I don't think we as a church need to argue about these things, because when we look at that last line, it continues to follow the heart of what Jesus has to say. It continues to follow the heart and the reason of what we're praying for. And so we don't need to argue about those things, because when we argue about those things, we can argue until Jesus comes back. And Jesus will look at us and say, well, you guys are silly. That's not important. We want to get to the reason why Jesus has given us these prayers. Now you're saying, well, we look at the two prayers, the version in Matthew and the version in Luke, and they're different. Luke's version is shorter, easier to memorize, right? If you look at the two versions, there are differences, like "your will be done" is not in there, "give us each day" versus "give us this day," and it's almost like Luke's version is more straightforward and concise, just like some of us using our language is more straightforward and concise, whereas Matthew's version provides additional context and elaboration. But what I think is that this highlights the idea where it makes prayer accessible, understandable, and applicable to all believers, regardless of background or theological understanding. I don't want us to be alarmed that there are two versions of the same prayer. Scholars have debated this for centuries. And you know what? Scholars have many different reasons. But however, I think the best explanation that I have found, and what makes sense to me, is this: that the context in which Jesus said both of these prayers were different. You see, in Matthew's version, when we look at where it's found in the Bible and where it's found in the Sermon on the Mount, It was part of the teachings, that a series of teaching that Jesus was doing. So because of that context, it was more comprehensive and maybe even more intentional in the wording. Whereas if we look at Luke's version of it, it was a disciple that observed Jesus in prayer, and when Jesus finished, the disciple asked him, "Teach me how to pray." So I don't believe that how it was recorded in Matthew is some incident in place as a version that it was recorded in Luke. So I think that the incidents in the place that both of these prayers were taught were different. Jesus was teaching a disciple that asked, "Teach me how to pray, Lord." And so he gave him, "This is how you pray." But when we have Matthew's version, Matthew's was a very intentional. He was preaching his greatest sermon ever, the Sermon on the Mount. We find it in 3 chapters in Matthew. And because of that, he was very, very careful in the words that he chose and intentional in the way that he taught us. And so I think that that's probably the best explanation of why there are two different versions. Yet, if you look at the two versions, it is consistent in how he prays. In any case, the two versions of the prayer shows us that Jesus didn't bind us to any particular wording. Again, it is the manner in how we pray. Jesus gave us his prayer as a template, not only for prayer, but in how we set our worship and our worldview. If you look at each petition of the Lord's Prayer, it serves as a guiding principle in how we are called to live out our faith in the world. It shapes our attitude, our actions towards God and to others, and it acts as a compass in how we are to relate, to react, to receive, and to give. Secondly, when we read the Lord's Prayer, we have to understand and read it in a Hebrew context. The structure of the Lord's Prayer is very closely related to the prayers of Judaism and the Psalms that we read. The language structure, the way that he teaches us how to pray, has many parallels to Jewish prayers. Jesus' prayer is shorter and simpler than the expressions of the prayers in Judaism, but it contains no mention of the patriarchs of Israel, of the law of Moses, or even in Scripture. But that the Lord's Prayer is not found in distinctive doctrines of Christianity or Judaism, but in a more basic relationship with God. Jesus gives us this prayer because it's about our relationship. Our Father in heaven is the first line of the prayer. This is the first line in addressing God as our Father. This is fundamental to the truth of our faith. This isn't just a bold statement of calling God Father. It isn't just saying, "Hi, Dad." It's coming before God and saying, "May I come to you as a son or as a daughter." It's coming before God and saying, "May I be a part of your kingdom." Our Father in heaven is very distinct because it sets it different. It says, "Our Father in where?" In heaven. So when we relate to God in heaven, it's not just, some of us like to, and I've been to many prayer places where they pray to Daddy God, or they pray to, there's a lot of cringe for me because sometimes when we talk about Daddy God, I'm just like, he's not your daddy, he's your God. You're talking to the creator of the universe. You're talking to the creator of heaven and earth. You're talking to the creator that created you and formed you in your being. You can't just call him daddy. That's weird. So specific, this is our Father in heaven. There's this aspect of holding a reverence of who God is. There's this aspect of saying, God, you are our creator. God, you are majesty. God, you are Lord. You are King. You are our Savior. God, you are our everything. And it sets it very much apart from a Father that we know. Because the Father on earth, as good as your Father is, they failed you in some way. But that's the difference with our God in heaven, is that he will never fail you. That he is always for you. That he is never against you. Those are the promises in scriptures that we have. So when we come to God and say, our Father, it's a relationship that we're establishing that is saying, you're our Father. But it's also a petition and a boldness of coming before God and saying that we are your son. We are your daughter. We are your children. And can we be a part of your kingdom? That's what coming to addressing our Father in heaven is about. It is setting our identity. It is coming to a place of saying that I belong to something that is heavenly. I belong to something that is greater than the world that I know. I belong to something in which God has set as his kingdom. And now I belong to that. It is a moment of intimacy. It is a moment of knowing that I have full access to this God. It is knowing that God loves us. It is knowing that God is all things for me. It would make a lot more sense for us to pray, oh God, or my Lord, or my King, but we don't. Jesus teaches us to come to him and saying, our Father. And notice it's not my Father, but it is our Father. Because there's a collective aspect to it. That when you're part of the kingdom of God and when you're part of his family, that we are part of something as individuals, we are part of something that is greater. That when we come to this family, this church here, that we all address him as Father. That all of us together, collectively, as a church, we say, our Father in heaven. There's something so profound about that when we address it, because it is both personal, yet it is corporate. We get to be a part of something that is bigger than ourselves. We get to be a part of something that is more than what we alone can achieve. But it also reminds us that we are a part of something and that we don't journey in our spiritual journey alone. That we need each other. That every single one of us in this church needs encouragement to walk out our faith. That we can't live this faith out by ourselves. That we need this community to do it together. Our Father sets our identity as sons and daughter. It gives us our belonging. It means that we're part of this kingdom. But this kingdom that we're a part of, which we'll get into next week more, but this kingdom is a kingdom of revolution. It's not just a simple of, oh, God's kingdom is good, we're part of heaven. It's not something that we separate or we're going to, but something that we're building here now. It's something that God has already established here on earth. It's just like, my kingdom is here. My kingdom is with you. My kingdom is with the church. My kingdom is expressed through the church. That there's this revolution of a new world and a new way of living, God's way of living. So every time we pray, our Father, we are stepping in as children of God to discover the kingdom of God, to step into a relationship that transcends earthly understanding and to find comfort and strength in God's presence and his provision. The second line says this, hallowed be your name. Hallowed, who uses that word? Nobody. But that hallowed aspect is the holiness aspect. It's the reverence of the holiness of God. It's acknowledging that God is infinite in worth and majesty. It is worshiping and praising God. It is remembering that our Father has loved us and bought us through his son Jesus. What we celebrated a couple weeks ago, Easter, you remember that? Just a couple weeks ago. That victory of Calvary that has taken our pain, our darkness, our shame, and has freed us, that sin and death no longer is ours, and is that holiness that God's name be praised. To hallow God's name challenges and reminds us to realign our priorities and direct our worship and devotion towards the one who is worthy of honor and praise. To recognize God's holiness isn't just be like, oh yeah, we know God's holy. Everybody knows that. Okay? That's not something that's new. But when we come before God and say, hallowed be your name, is that moment of worship. Do you know that prayer is an expression of our worship? It's actually the heart of our worship. Did you know that prayer sets our worship? And when we worship, it starts dictating in who we are. So when we look at the Lord's Prayer and how we pray and how Jesus teaches us to pray, the more we pray that prayer, the more we pray through that prayer, the more we understand the heart of God, the more we understand what our mission is here, but the more we come into our identity. Prayer sets our worship. Worship sets who we become. That just came to me. We become what we worship, right? Hallowed be your name aligns us every single day to who God is. Hallowed be your name resets our center in who we follow. Hallowed be your name allows us to come to that place of our Father, but he is holy. There is a reverence of who God is. It allows us to have access to a God that the Old Testament didn't have access to. That it is only through Jesus and what he did on the cross that gives us this access, knowing that God is holy. And because he is holy, we are holy. It centers who you are. When we pray to God, and we look at the Lord's Prayer, over the next couple weeks, we're going to unpack every single petition to a place of what does being part of God's kingdom, what is God's will for us. We get to unpack what does it mean for God to give us our daily bread. Is it literally feeding, or is it so much more than that? We get to unpack what it means to lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That's, that phrase right there is a very Jewish prayer. That petition, there's always a but between the petitions. Lead us not into temptation, deliver us, right? Very Jewish prayer there. We're going to get to learn and unpack a little bit more of that. And we even get to unpack, for thine is a kingdom. What does that mean in the greater scheme of things? But this prayer, I know a lot of us know it, right? Did you know that this prayer was prayed in Canadian public schools alongside the national anthem up until 1988? Because I remember in grade one praying this. That tells you how old I am now. And then it got removed. But that this prayer was a prayer that was prayed and that a lot of people know and are familiar with, even if they're not Christians. Because if you look at this prayer, oftentimes if you look at the full prayer, you could pray that prayer even if you don't believe in Jesus. Right? That a Jewish person could pray this prayer and not feel like they have to believe in who God and believe in who Jesus is. But I believe that this prayer that Jesus taught us, he's made it so simple and so universal that we could come into it and begin to understand a relationship with God. I want this next season for us, for this prayer to become a roadmap for our discipleship. Because this prayer guides us in our journey of faith and obedience. This prayer shapes our attitudes and our actions towards God and towards others. So if you don't know the Lord's Prayer, I encourage you to memorize it. I encourage you to get to know it. Get to know this version of it, because that's what we're going to preach through. But if you do know it, I want you guys to start slowing down your prayer time. This week, maybe focus on just our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Maybe just take the whole week and just pray that one line, the two lines. Let this prayer become something that begins to shape your identity this week. Let it begin to realign and realign your center of who you're aligning yourself to. Allow this prayer to become something that becomes personal. Slow it down. I was praying, as I was preparing this, I'm like, I could pray this in my sleep. I could pray backwards and forwards. But when do I ever actually slow down to focus on each line? Maybe you're like, you know what, I can't do that. I want to pray the whole prayer every single day. Then do that. Pray the whole prayer every day, but slow it down. Pray, our Father in heaven, take a pause. What does that mean for you? What does it mean for you today? Our Father in heaven. And then, hallowed be your name. What does that mean to you? What does God's holiness mean to you today? What does his death and resurrection mean to you to set your day for today? Hallowed be your name. How do we come into God's holiness today? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Dangerous prayers, guys. It's a very dangerous prayer, but it is so good. Because thy will be done. Do you know what that means? Jesus said it on the way to the cross. Jesus prayed to God, God, if you could pass this cup from me, do so. But thy will be done. That is one of the most bold prayer of obedience that anyone could pray. On earth as it is in heaven, what does that mean for you? What does it mean to bring the things of heaven into earth? Give us this day our daily bread. It's not just about bread. Although bread is good. I like bread. But it's about provision. It's about giving us what we need, not just for the day, but what we need to bring the kingdom of God onto earth. What do we need, not just for myself, but what do I need to serve others? Forgive us our debts. Asking God for His forgiveness so that we can forgive others. And lead us not into temptation. That's something that we want to pray all the time, right? God, lead me not into temptation and deliver me from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Slow down your prayer over this next month and a half that we do the Lord's Prayer. I encourage you, church, to pray every single line. Meditate on every single line. And what does that mean for you for that day? I really believe it's going to begin to change your prayer life. Not only is it going to begin to change your prayer life, it's going to change what you worship and how you worship. You're going to begin to see yourself and God more. You're going to be able to see, oh, these are things I need to work on myself. Could get a little ugly. But then you're going to be able to see the grace of God more. You're going to be able to see the mercies of God more. You're going to be able to come to a place where each and every day you pray this prayer, that God begins to align you more with His will, and that aspect of thy will be done becomes easier every single day. Lord's Prayer, when He taught it to His disciples, and then when He taught it again at the Sermon on the Mount, acts as a template for us. You don't have to pray those exact words every single time, but that template gives us a method in how to approach the throne of God. It gives us a method in terms of how we set our discipleship as followers of Jesus. Each petition gives us profound insights into the work of God and who we are to be. The simplicity of it allows for an expansive elaboration and speaks the deepest longing of the human heart. So as we close off today, I want us to stand and I want us to read this together. Okay? So we're going to stand, we're going to read this together, and then we're going to close this off. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Father God, we come before you graciously and with full thanksgiving as we learn and grow deeper in our prayer language, but learn and grow deeper in our discipleship. So, Father God, as we go through this sermon series, Lord, may your Spirit come and teach us. May your Spirit come and guide us. May you grab hold of our hearts as we learn every single petition in this prayer. Lord, may this prayer set a compass for us. May this prayer set a new way of living for us. May this prayer teach us to become better followers. So Jesus, we come before you, humbly asking for you to teach us how to pray. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm really excited for this series because I think the Lord's Prayer is something that for those of us who grew up in Christian homes or have been a Christian for a while, it's something that gets talked about, and it's kind of just, it feels generic. It's like, yeah, we know that. And as John said today, every single line of this is important. Jesus taught it for a reason. And so I love John's challenge to take it home and just really look at each line and just, what does that mean for me? And I really feel like this series is an opportunity for this prayer to become alive for us in a way that maybe it hasn't been before, or maybe just in a new way. I really hope that it sets a fire in your heart to pray more, to pray deeper, to just build that relationship with God maybe in a way that you never have before, or just build on what you already have. So I'm just going to pray for that this morning. So Father, we just thank you so much for this series and just what you've put on John and the pastor's hearts, Lord. And Father, I just pray that you would, in the coming weeks, just open our minds to hear more from you and, like I said, ignite a fire in us, Lord, to just really press in deep to building an even deeper relationship with you than we already have, Lord. I just pray this week as people go home that they would feel excited but also challenged to really take another look at these words. And if they're new, Lord, that they would just reveal something about who you are, Lord. And if they're not new, that they would still reveal something new, Lord. You have so many layers and there's so many things about you, Lord. And we want to know you more. We want to have a deeper prayer life, deeper prayer relationship with you, Lord. So I just pray you'd help us to do that and help us to really hear what you have for us as we're meditating on this week. So Lord, we just praise you this morning. We thank you for giving us this prayer as a guideline, Lord, and I just pray that these words would come alive to us this week and the coming weeks, just in a new and exciting way. We just give you all the glory this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a wonderful week, everybody. We'll see you next Sunday.